The views expressed on the following program are designed to amplify those of the speaker and not necessarily those of KAAM, DJRD Broadcasting, or its sponsors.
And now for something completely different.
Here's what's coming up this hour on Today's Experience. It's Expository Thursday. On a Thursday, which is amazing, because normally I'll do it on a Friday or a Wednesday, even though Expository Thursday is supposed to be on a Thursday. Yeah, we're going to examine the collective separation of the Jews and the Gentiles from God with a Gentile focus. Also, we're going to review the five bummers of that separation from God. Boo. Get it? Get it? That's a hidden joke. And what's the real idea of the spilt blood? Ooh.
David Spoon's life has been an experience. While growing up in a Jewish family, he made a wrong turn towards drug abuse. Then David Spoon found Jesus Christ, and his life completely changed. The more he studied the gospel, the more he wanted to share his experiences with others. After 35 years of ministry, David discovered a new path of service. He joined KAAM, and this radio program began. You're about to hear the David Spoon Experience.
Welcome to the David Spoon Experience, local, national, and heavenly talk. Here's what else we're looking at during the show. Lessons for surviving, living, and prevailing. Politics, entertainment, and current events, personal revelations, spiritual observations, and my life's insanities. Oy vey. There's so much more than that. Hey, we're asking you, what do you think? You can give us a call at 972-445-0770. That's 972-445-0770. It's really open to you because any topic is open for conversation, praise reports, prayer requests, trivia, you know, all that stuff. Keep in mind, it's not professional radio. It's just radio. It's a cross between Steve Martin, Sean Hannity, and Focus on the Family, the David Spoon Experience. So buckle up, little campers. Here we go. Now, there's a lot of people out there, and you're ready for some spiritual truth, and I'm excited to share with you, and we're going to do some expository teaching, and that's going to be really cool, but we have to give acknowledgement where acknowledgement is due. Number one, it's a little cold.
It is.
I just want to say, I'm still in shorts, you know, but I did wear a long sleeve shirt, right? So I'm trying to get in the season. I thought I'd act really tough the other day, and I got some gas and stood out there in my shorts and pumped the gas like it didn't bother me at all.
Right.
That's right. Inside, I was whining, going, why am I doing stupid things like this? Who knows? That was kind of tough. So we had to, you know, we had to bring the plant.
She's right. This was the earliest freeze I think we've had.
Yeah, it was cold. Yeah. You know, it wasn't cold, it was cold. All right, so that was number one. And then we put those things on the spigots and all that other stuff that you're supposed to do. I guess you're supposed to do that.
Yep.
And then number two, I really thought, now this is twice now, I really thought Houston was going to win.
I did too. You know, I watched the first hour. It was 2-0 when I went to sleep. I woke up in like the sixth inning still. 2-0. And so I thought we were good. And then I woke up this morning and...
At one point, they were 8 outs away, I think, from wrapping it up. Very, very disappointing. It's not that I'm a huge Houston Astros fan. I'm just really anti-Washington.
Yeah, well, yeah.
Really, you know. And something that most people don't know, I'm just going to tell you this. This is not an eschatological dig, but I do want people to be aware of it. Do you know how the architecture of Washington was built? A lot of people do not know this. I'm just going to tell you something you probably don't know. And that is the architecture, the main architecture that created Washington, built Washington because it was set on seven hills.
Huh.
Yeah, you might want to cross-reference that in Revelation. You're going to be like, uh-oh. That's right. A couple of things. We're going to talk about Halloween in a second, just to let you know. In fact, today, as a holiday, per se, is a carve a pumpkin day. You ever carve a pumpkin?
Oh, yeah.
Good? Did you do good?
No.
Oh, okay.
Who does good? Now they have those cheat things where you put up a like a stencil on there and you carve it out. But back in the old days, we just whittled away.
I know. Yeah, it's like now you can put like the Last Supper picture on there.
Yeah.
It's like, come on. It's a pumpkin, for crying out loud. All right. For those that are looking for a little more spiritual tonality, here you go. In 1892, on this day, The Adventures of Sherlock Holmes was first published. That's not spiritual, but I found that to be very interesting. And then this is spiritual. In 1517, Martin Luther posted his 95 theses on the door of the Castle Church in Wittenberg. So this day has a lot going on that people are not aware of. However, it is also known as Halloween, and I'm going to talk about that because we are doing expository teaching, but I want to talk about the Halloween thing first, okay? And the reason that I want to talk about the Halloween thing first is because there is a lot of up and down in the Christian world in regards to Halloween. And so I'm not going to give you the hysterical facts. I'm not going to give you the justifiable facts. I'm not doing either one of those. I am just going to give you the overall historical data that you can evaluate for yourself, and then I'm going to give you my my insight or my opinion on it. Some people will like it and some people won't, but I will tell you this now ahead of time. If you make Halloween out to be an issue of fellowship between you and other Christians, you got much deeper problems, okay? And you think, no, Dave, because there's a lot of bad and there's a lot of dirt. You're right. I'm going to deal with that in a second. But if that's what's separating you from fellowshipping with other Christians, that's kind of weak. Let's talk about the overall holiday itself and understand where it comes from and all of that. Halloween is a contraction of All Hallows Evening, also known as All Hallows Eve. It is a yearly celebration observed in a number of countries on the 31st day of October. It is the eve of the Western Christian feast of All Hallows Day. It initiates the triumph of Hallowmas, the time in the liturgical year dedicated to remembering the dead, including saints, martyrs, and all the faithful departed believers. Okay? All right. Just keep it that part. There's not a lot of complexity. According to many scholars, All Hallows Eve is a Christianized feast initially influenced by Celtic harvest festivals, possible pagan roots, particularly the Gaelic Samhain, and other academics maintain that it originated independently of the Samhain and has solely Christian roots. I find it hard to believe that that either of these groups are just 100% correct, and the reason that is because of this. I think that holidays have morphed. All holidays have, would you say that? That's not an inaccurate statement. I mean, Valentine's Day, when I was growing up, meant that you took little heart candies and you gave them to the girls that you were sweet on if you were a guy, or the guys you were sweet on if you're a girl. Now, if you give any kind of candies during anything like Valentine's Day, if you give any kind of candies, it has to be to everybody. It has to be sexually neutered. There has to be no gender involved. It has to be I love you and everybody gets an I love you, which is how bizarre, because when you're in third grade or second grade, there's a lot of kids you don't want to play with. I mean, it's like, come on. And that's oftentimes that's because they're not very nice is really what's going on. But what I'm trying to say is now it's morphed into something completely different. And it's I think a lot of holidays do that. I think people get upset about Christmas because it morphed into a day that people had picked, and we can get into the basis of Christmas too, and no, it's not a reference in the Book of Nahum. That's ridiculous. Nobody's worshiping the tree by putting presents in there. In fact, I've cursed out a few trees in my lifetime.
Yes, I've heard.
I'm just telling you. So my point in that is the whole mindset that's gone into things, it just goes, it kind of goes bonkers, and now in Christmas, it's a lot more commercial. You know, people, I won't celebrate Christmas because it's commercial. Okay, so let me get this straight. Forget all the presents. You're not just going to join in with everybody who's picking a day to celebrate the birth of Christ because, what, God's up there going, you're off by 3 days. I mean, come on. Who do you think God is? He's up there and he's this guy in a rocking chair and he's got a fly swatter, and every time you do something wrong, he smacks you. Bam, dead fly. I mean, come on. All right? Here's what I do want to say about Halloween. Okay, this is kind of an important part. Other academics, by the way, on the history, say it's pretty fuzzy. It was a celebration back then, but what it's become now is kind of a different planet, and a lot of that has to do with media and movies and TV and so on and so forth. Just so you can know from a factual point of view, a typical old-time festival for Halloween, it was trick-or-treat, costume parties, you're decorating, you're carving pumpkins, you're lighting bonfires, you're apple bobbing. What's wrong with apple bobbing? That's fine. Let's be honest, it's never trick-or-treating. It's always treating. Who knocks on your door and you go, trick? Okay, pick a card, any card you want.
We had a lady in our neighborhood that made us do.
Did she really?
Yeah, do a trick and I'll give you a treat.
Okay.
We don't know any tricks.
We won't toilet paper your house. That's our trick. It used to be, and this is where I'm coming from, and this is where I want you to relax. Okay, take a deep breath. It used to be in the 50s and 60s a time of just dressing up and getting candy as a kid. I mean, I grew up in Detroit. So we would take a pillowcase, go house to house, and you dressed up as whatever. There weren't really dark themes the way there are now. It was just real simple stuff. You dressed up, you know, like a carrot. And you put your bag out there and you knocked on somebody's door and they threw candy in there. And then you did that 9,000 times. I mean, come on. Right? No kids really thought about the spirituality of the holiday. I didn't when I was 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12. That's the last time I had. This is 12. I think church harvest festivals are cool. I don't have any problem. I've run a couple. I've been to a couple. Okay, I've run a ton of them, and I've been to a bunch of them. No dark themes. You know, you don't have to be Jason with an axe in your head. Some people really like that. Big deal. I mean, that's not my problem. It's just not an essential or a non-essential in regards to fellowship. And there are people that will not fellowship with other Christians who celebrate Halloween. It's just absurd. There's no riding on OPM. Now, you might think OPM is other people's money, but you're wrong. It's other people's minds. And here's something you don't know that I'm going to tell you, and I only got a minute to tell you. Really, Halloween means this. Hollow is empty, in case you didn't know. Okay, hollow out that thing. It's empty. And the een, which everybody knows stands for in between, so Halloween actually stands for an empty between. And you know what's empty between? The kids' teeth. So, you know, do the kids a favor and give them some candy and be cool about it. Kids have it, I think, a lot tougher nowadays. And you can even be a witness and be an encouragement and even be a faith encourager. Dress up as an angel. Dress up as a preacher. Dress up as a witness. And then say, I'm so-and-so, because I believe in Jesus Christ. Don't be a harumphy, though. A harumphy are the people that get nailed next year. Don't do that. If the kid wants candy, big deal. It's not good for their teeth. So what? Milk's not good for you anymore either, but you still drink it. You're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Going to take a short break, then come back. If you disagree with me, you still have to love me.
Hey, here's something your insurance company doesn't want you to know. Some restoration companies have signed contracts with the insurance companies to get more business. At Mr. Restore, we don't participate in any insurance contracts because we believe they're a conflict of interest. Mr. Restore works for you and will always look out for your best interests. So, when you have fire, smoke, water, or flood damage, use the restoration company that's in your corner. Learn more at MrRestore.com.
Back to normal like you were before. If you have fire, water, damage, call Mr. Restore.
We happen to be people who are able to, you know, go with the Lord while the flow is going, while the river is going, while the joy is going, and then something comes in the way like a pebble, like a pebble, and then we trip and we're like, ay, 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 and we don't know what we're doing. Here's the key. You're never going to be good enough. You're never going to be this superhuman, beyond capacity, exactly like Jesus in everything you say or do in each moment. That's not happening.
The David Spoon Experience.
Who is David Spoon? I have no idea. People have asked me about the David Spoon Experience. They wanted to know what I thought of him. Like any person searching for answers, I too have wondered about him, and here's what I know. He was born and raised Jewish, and after intense drug use, became a Christian. He has three children and almost 5 grandchildren. He has 3 separate ordinations from 3 different denominations and a summa cum laude for his BA degree in ministry and leadership, as well as a master's degree of theology studies. He has a weird sense of humor and talks a lot.
It's not a dissolver that will take stuff off. It's spot on, not spot off.
If people are seeking wisdom and insight from the great teachers around the world, would they go to David? No, I don't think so. And those big ears really don't help him. But would they enjoy his perspective on life, culture, politics, food, sports, local and national news? I don't know. I guess people were going to have to listen to find out. The David Spoon Experience, weekdays at 2 on 770 KAAM.
What is the David Spoon Experience?
John 7:24, stop judging by mere appearance and make a right judgment. That's all good. From 1 Corinthians 6:2, do you not know that the saints will judge the world? And if you are to judge the world, are you not competent to judge trivial cases? You can't say Christians can't judge. They're commanded to. Here it is right here. Ready? Here's the bowling ball knocking down the pins. Every day as Christians, we have to judge what is appropriate, proper, healthy, and useful. Also, what people we believe we should hang out with, trust, believe in, or let influence, we have to judge that on a regular basis. When you choose your church, you're using your judgment abilities.
Bazinga.
I love that. Because listen, when you're choosing your church, you have to decide to pick one over another. Oh, here's the key. You're going to hate me. Ready? Here it is. If we have no ability to judge, we can't vote. Welcome back to the Nut House, to the David Spoon Experience. Thank you for joining us here at KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. I do want to let you know, if you want to reach the show, davidspoonmedia@gmail.com, the website, davidspoonmedia.com. If you strongly disagree, you're welcome to call, and we can talk about it. I'm not trying to legalize or sanctify something that is definitely has too many dark things going on with it, but everything has too many dark things going on with it. And I want to point this out, and this is I'm not going to tell who this is, but I'm going to tell you that I have a friend. Okay, I know it's hard to believe that I have a friend. Anyway, I have a friend, and this is a very good friend. I just want you to know, I really like this person. But because of that passage in Revelation about the frogs coming out of the people's mouths, this person does not allow any pictures of any kind of frogs in any capacity in their home, which I personally don't have a problem with. But I also would say that if that's how you would evaluate it, then I can't really have any kind of pictures of any human beings, since demonic spirits seem to come out of people's mouths all the time. So that's kind of where I'm going with that. Let's get into our expository. I do have a trivia question. Where's my trivia page? Here is my trivia page. Here we go. Here's a pretty straightforward one. Let's see if you know this. Ready? How many coins... Ooh, a coin question. How many coins were in the fish's mouth that Peter caught at Jesus' command? How many coins were in the fish's mouth? Interesting question. I also have a super hard one if you want to try and do that. I'll kind of lay it out there. It's really tough. What's the shortest verse in the Old Testament? Double whammy. 972-445-0770. 972-445-0770. As you know, we have been talking and doing expository review on Ephesians. And I want to make sure that people know kind of where we're going from. We did chapter 1, and when that talked a great deal about our position, our salvation through God the Father, through God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, and God's graciousness, and how there was intimate prayer for us, and that we would know the will of God and understand the will of God, and that we would respond. Oh, I think we have somebody already calling in. I mean, is that fast? That's fast, folks. I didn't even get going yet. How many coins? Isn't that a good question? How many coins in the fish's mouth? We ready? Oh, somebody's calling me. Yeah, here we go, ladies and gentlemen. This is David. Who am I talking to?
Hi, David. This is Darlene from Carrollton.
Hi, Darlene. How are you?
I'm super.
Okay, here's the and you know what? That's great that you're super. I'm very happy to hear that. Well, I'm just going to ask you real quick, and you don't have to confess it one way or another, but did you watch or did you hear about the baseball stuff?
Yes, I did.
Okay.
I'm sorry.
Yeah, but it went a long time. You know, 7 games, that's a lot of extra money if they would have lost earlier.
That's exactly, you know what? That's a great attitude. And you know what? They went really, really, really deep, didn't they? You know what I'm saying?
Did. Okay. Yes, when it was two to nothing, you know, two wins and no losses, or two losses.
Everybody thought it was done. It was done then, right? Yeah. They did make a game of it, so I was happy about that. They did a good job. Okay, coins. Now, it's kind of a tricky question, so I'm hoping you get this, and I'm kind of going to walk you through it. I want to make sure you're on board with me. But there was a situation where Jesus and Peter needed to, or apparently needed to pay the tax.
Does your master pay taxes?
Yeah.
Does your master pay taxes? Yes, he does.
Yes, he did. He paid the temple tax, which if you're Jewish, you really understand because you can't go to high holiday without paying the money. Talk to me about the coin. How many coins were in the mouth?
There was only one.
That's right.
For his and Peter's.
That is correct. The catch in that is it was a 4-drachma coin, so it was enough to pay for both of them, but there was only one. Now, I got to ask you a question because I love asking this question. You ready? It's not a trivia question. It's just a thought question. Where do you think that fish thought he was going when he swallowed that coin the first time, and then he comes and has to wait until Peter goes fishing? What do you think that fish thought? Because he had to swallow that
Jesus,
coin. And then
Jesus could speak to the storm. He could talk to that fish.
Yeah. He told that fish. I mean, that fish might have been going, what am I doing?
Hey, we have to, all those in Christ Jesus with the power of the Holy Spirit, speak forth those things too.
That's right. Good job. Excellent job, my friend. Excellent job. I really appreciate that, and I really thank you for calling in and sharing. You did a great job.
Okay, you have a great one.
All right,
bye-bye.
You too. All right, bye-bye. Excellent job. Okay. All right, let me get into the study, or people are going to get mad at me about the study. That was a really good answer. She got it right off the bat. It's one coin, but it was a 4-drachma coin, so it paid the tax for both of them. Pretty interesting stuff. Here we go. In chapter 2 in Ephesians, you have this breakdown. We talked about this. Our old condition is verse 1 through 3. His response was verse 4 through 7. And then 8 through 10 was the formula that he created for our condition, which is the great, for by grace you are saved through faith, the great formula that comes through there. Now we're going into verse 11 in chapter 2, and this is the collective separation that takes place from humanity to God, but it is it's a kind of a minor emphasis on the Gentiles. Now, when I say Gentile, I don't mean that offensively. I look at Gentile in the word Gentile as non-Jewish person. Okay? Some people will call that non-Jewish. Actually, some translators actually make that argument. It's a non-Jewish person. The problem is, back in the day, the word Jew and Gentile were much worse than they are today. You think they're bad now? You think it's bad when somebody says, you're a Jew, and they say that in that negative way? You think that's bad then? Back then, it was much, much worse. I want you to listen to verse 11. Therefore, remember that formerly you who are Gentiles by birth and called uncircumcised by those who call themselves the circumcision, which is done in the body by the hands of men. Remember that at that time you were separate from Christ. Here is what Paul is identifying. He's talking to the Gentiles. He's talking about between Acts chapter 2 and Acts chapter 10 and 11, where Peter brings the gospel into the Gentile world. Yes, Jesus had other people believe in him, but we're talking about the outpouring of the Holy Spirit, which took place in Acts chapter 2, and then again in Acts chapter 10 and 11, where you have this process where the Gentiles become Christians through the gospel. And how do you know that that was taking place? Even while Peter was preaching, while he was still speaking, the Holy Spirit fell on all the people and they started speaking in tongues. It's like, that's what it says. You can't change it. You might not like it, but that's what the book says. Okay? And so what you get is you get this idea of circumcision being the separator between the Jew and the Gentile. Let's just understand circumcision in all its glory. Circumcision is cutting the foreskin of the males you know what. Okay? That's what it is. So let's not try and say it's something it isn't. That's what it is. Do you know what it symbolizes or what the point is? And it's a pretty straightforward point. And almost every commentator says the same thing. The whole point about cutting the foreskin on the males, you know what, is there's too much flesh. And that's the testimony God is giving. Too much flesh. And you're thinking, wait, what do you mean too much? Too much flesh. There's too much flesh. There's too much us walking in the flesh and not in the spirit. There's too much old heart. There's too much old person. Dave, the old person was crucified. That is correct. Judicially, the old person is crucified, but it has not been fully redeemed yet, just like we still die, and death has been is part of that, freedom from death is a part of that redemption. That old man is still growing corrupt. He's just judicially down. And here's the bottom line, too much flesh. And there's too many Christians who walk too much in the too old stuff, and it's ugly. That's just the truth. The truth is we need to do a better job walking less fleshly. And if you think, well, that's pretty radical. You're talking about God. God going, I want these people for myself. I'll show you a distinction. Now, there are many Jewish people that say, well, he could have just had us put a hole in the ear. That's a good thought, but that's not what God wanted. God wanted to make a statement. And the problem in this verse right here in verse 11 is you have the acknowledgement by Paul that the people of circumcision had a better than you attitude, which is a problem. Even if you're a Christian, let's say you're a Pentecostal and you look down on Baptist, or you're a Baptist, you look down on Pentecostal, all that stuff, that's wrong. You're all members of one body. You don't do stuff like that. Okay? We work it together because when they start really persecuting Christians, it is only those who are truly in the faith that will be alongside you, and there will not be a denominational differential. I'm telling you right now, and you hear this when on some of my mid-speaks, on some of the points where we do the three-minute breaks, every denomination will fade to the white. As soon as you get to the point where they start genuinely persecuting Christians, and I'm not talking about not praying in school. I'm talking about locking people up and shooting people and cutting limbs off and doing all that stuff that they're going to, at some point, going to happen. You think, well, the rapture will happen by then. Okay, but if until it happens, you and I have a job of supporting one another, crying for one another, laughing with one another, being connected to one another, and encouraging one another. Here's the big thing about circumcision, whether you're a Jew or a Gentile. Too much flesh. That's God's comment. Have less flesh in your life. Don't walk in the old you. Walk in the new creature created in Christ. You're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Short break. We'll be back.
Hey, Frank.
Hey, Johnny.
How's retirement?
Well, I have to be at work at 7:30 in the morning.
Whoa, Frank. I thought you were retired.
Yeah, well, I didn't do a good job keeping my money safe, and when the market dropped, I lost half my money, so I had to go back to work.
So now what?
Well, you can have fries with that.
No, Frank, that's not what I mean. People have problems all the time. They make mistakes, but what are you going to do about it now?
Who's
going to
help me in my position? My finances are a mess.
You need my guy. Contact Jamie Blumenthal from Retirement Strategies and Solutions. He and his wife Nancy have helped over 600 clients just in the Dallas area. If he can help you, he'll let you know, and he won't charge anything for you to find out.
How do I get a hold of him?
Go to his website, retiretherightway.com. That's retiretherightway.com. You can also call him at 800-287-1667.
Thanks, Johnny.
No problem, Frank. Remember, plan right, retire right, retire the right way, my friend. Get in touch with Jamie today.
Are you sitting there at home on your computer? Are you driving along in your car just listening to the radio? Is that app for this station working for you? Don't you wish you could reach people for your business? Introducing the Commercial Whammy. It slices, it dices, it cleans up dirty spots, lickety-split, and makes julienne fries. And right now, for a tremendous discount, you can have a Commercial Whammy too. All you need to do is call KAAM or send an email to davidspoonmedia@gmail.com, and bam! You have your own Commercial Whammy before you know it. Call now and you can get a second Commercial Whammy for half the price. That's right. Call now for your very own Commercial Whammy. 972-445-1700 or email davidspoonmedia@gmail.com. Don't delay. Call today. Operators are standing by.
Why does Sally sell seashells by the seashore when anyone can pick them up on the beach for free? And what does she sell them for? I don't understand.
The David Spoon Experience.
It's incredible, and it's never been done before. And you can be the first person in your neighborhood to win.
What is it?
It's a contest.
How do I play?
It's simple, and there's three ways to win. You can go to Facebook, type in David Spoon Media, and on any Facebook post, type in the word Jesus in the comment section, and it's free. You can also send an email to davidspoonmedia@gmail.com and write the word Jesus in the subject line. Or you can go to YouTube and give a comment on any video, but you have to use the word Jesus. This is your chance to win, and it's free.
What do I win?
You can win 100 thank yous right on air. It's incredible. It's unbelievable, but it's only for a limited time. Enter now. Here's a taste. Thank you for listening to the David Spoon Experience.
Sometimes hallelujah. Welcome back to the David Spoon Experience. Thank you for joining us here at KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Email davidspoonmedia@gmail.com. You know, as a professional speaker, I should probably not go as many times as I do. I probably do it 20 times in a show. A website, David Spoon Media. See? davidspoonmedia.com. I need prayer. Facebook. I got to do it in front of every one of these. David Spoon Media. YouTube, David Spoon Media. There you go. Next trivia question coming up, because this next segment on Ephesians is actually kind of pretty cool, but I want to make sure we get this next trivia question. And how many days did Jesus wait before he went to Bethany to see the dead Lazarus? How many days did he wait? Not how many days total. How many days did he wait? That's the question. Try and get that without looking in the Google. Okay? 972-445-0770. So I want to really key in on this portion that we're discussing in lieu of Ephesians. There are five major bummers that come, according to Paul, from being a Gentile who did not get quite to the presentation of the Gentile time of the gospel. Hear what he says in verse 11 and 12. Therefore, remember that formerly you who are Gentiles by birth and called uncircumcised by those who call themselves the circumcised, that done in the body by the hands of men. Remember that at that time you were one, separate from Christ. Two, excluded from citizenship in Israel. Three, foreigners to the covenant of promise. Four, without hope. And five, without God. Listen to those. They're brutal. Number one, listen to what Paul is identifying by the anointing of the Holy Spirit. Listen to what he's identifying as takes place prior to getting into Christ. Listen to these things. One, you're separate from Christ. You think, well, I know, but I don't know him yet. Yeah, but that means no Messiah, no one to look to. Ow. Nobody to look to. I mean, nowhere to put your hope. Wow. All right. We'll hold off on that. We'll answer this so somebody can answer the trivia. Then we'll get back to it. Hold on. This is David. Who am I talking to?
This is Craig.
Hey, how are you?
I'm wonderfully well, praise God. How are you?
I'm doing fantastic. I am doing fantastic. I'm having a great day. So I'm great devotion. So that always makes my day better. Always.
Okay. Listen, I do have an answer for you, and I have an answer for the shortest verse. I knew it a while ago, but I couldn't get through.
Wow. You're gonna really hit it up then. All right. Let's go with the first answer. I'm going to give you the chance on the first one. How many days did Jesus wait before he went to Bethany to see the dead Lazarus? How many days did he wait?
Four.
Okay. That's the total number of days Lazarus was dead. So how many days did Jesus, remember Jesus got the message and then he waited and then he went, right? When Jesus went to the...
Wait, I'm not sure I understand the question.
Yeah, that could be my fault. I apologize. All right, so here's what I'm looking for. You're right. It's four in totality from the time they brought the message to Jesus to the time he resurrected. But in Jerusalem, before he went to Bethany, he waited 2 days before he even got up to go see him.
Okay, now I understand the question too.
That's my bad, huh? I should have told you better. That's my fault. Okay, tell me if you know the shortest verse though in the Old Testament, you're gonna be like the winner for the week or the month. So tell me what the shortest verse of the Old Testament is.
It will be Psalm 119, verse 117.
And what does that say?
Oh, mercy me, I can't tell you off the top of my head.
Okay, now here's what I want you to do, because you are a champion, okay? I mean, I just think you are a champion for you to take two on, and they're big ones. I want you to do this. I need you to do me a favor. Can you promise you'll do this one favor? I want you to look up 1 Chronicles 125, 1 Chronicles 125, and compare it with the Psalm 119. And if you'll do that, you can either do it on hold or you can call me back. Then I'm going to put you on the air again, or we'll just put you right back on, and you tell me which one's shorter. How about that? Can you do that?
Wait. Chronicles 125 or Psalm,
the Psalm 119,
17, right. Verse 117.
Right. You got it. I want you to just look at them and count the letters.
Okay, well, listen, I'm in a wheelchair, and it'll take me a few minutes to get to my Bible.
Not a problem.
Because I have to go to a different room. So.
Okay, I will wait. We won't take any more calls. I'll just do the teaching throughout. We have a whole nother segment. We'll take our time, you know, and if you have a problem and you can't get to it, I'll have you come on first thing tomorrow. So there's no pressure here. We're not about creating any pressure.
I will call you back, sir.
You got it. I love it. I love your commitment. You are fantastic. Thank you
all for that.
Okay.
Blessed.
Okay. All right. Bye bye. I love stuff like this. Don't you understand? This is the greatest stuff. Why? This is our brothers, our sisters, all just doing this stuff together. It's just the coolest stuff. All right. Let me go back to this teaching, and then I'm going to give them a chance to look at those two verses. The heat has to be on in here because I'm schwitzing. just so you can know.
I had to switch it to heat because it was 69 degrees, but it's only set at 70 now. Oh, okay. I turned it back down.
Okay. So here's the five things. I want to talk about those five things again because those five things are really kind of an amazing element. The first one is you're separate from Christ. The second is you're excluded from the citizenship in Israel. The third thing, you're foreigners to the covenant of promise. The fourth thing is you're without hope. And the fifth thing is without God. So here's what I want you to understand. The first one, no Messiah means no one to look to. That's so depressing that you have no one to look to. No citizenship, watch this, is nowhere to belong. Apart from Christ, there's no one to look to, there's nowhere to belong. And then when it says that you are foreigners to the covenant of the promise, there's no blessings. Wow, these are all bad things. No hope, when it says without hope, means no vision. There's nothing. You know, without a vision, the people perish. There's nothing to look towards. And without God in the world means no relationship with the creator of the universe, which, by the way, is ultimately the only way that creation itself can find itself, is to be connected to its creator. That's what the created needs to do. There are five bummers. It's a theological term that we invented in the 50s. No Messiah, no citizenship, no promise, no hope, no God. Now, here's what I want you to catch. That is, and even if they won't admit it, that is what an unbeliever goes through. They have no one to genuinely look to. There's nowhere they actually belong. There's no blessing. There's no vision. And there's no connection to their creator. And if anything, when we read stuff like this, we should be like, yowza, that's terrible. And then you have to think on the flip side of that, that we know that the solution to that is for them to get in Christ. So when you're praying for somebody to get saved, I want to make sure you get this. There should be a greater sense of passion and compassion, because it doesn't matter whether they admit it or not, they don't really have anybody to look to that has any kind of eternal stability. They have no citizenship. You know, people will go, well, I'm just going to go to hell and drink a beer with all my friends. You know, they're just blowing smoke. They don't even know what they're talking about. They have no idea what hell's going to be like. So they're trying to comfort themselves with lines of baloney. There's no blessing. There's no, and listen to what it says. There's no, when it's talking about this connection to the covenant of promise, there's nothing. They got nothing. Zero. They're without hope. Do you know what it's, I mean, I'm just going to say this. Have you ever been in a circumstance where you thought there's no hope? And then as a Christian, what do? You revert to, you know, one day I'm going to be with the Lord. I'm going to live in the Lord forever and ever. I'm going to be eternally connected to the Lord. It's not going to be floating on clouds, but it's going to be some awesome stuff. If it took him 7 days to create the universe and it's 2,000 years before he returns here, how fantastic is this going to be that heaven's going to be? We can revert to that hope. People that are not saved have no genuine hope. They got nothing. I don't care if they tell you that or not. And Paul is like, he's going through each. Look, and this is what the Holy Spirit's doing. You know, when you're apart from Christ, you know, no one to look to, nowhere to belong, no blessings, no vision, no relationship. It's a mess. So when you're praying for people to get saved, I got people in my family that are not saved. We've had a lot of arguments, just not saved is what I'm saying. And you get mad. Sometimes I get mad because some of them I've been praying for 41 years. But there has to be some feeling, some compassion, some connection, some empathy. Because most of us got saved and we were so fortunate to be saved. They don't really have anybody to look to. They have nowhere they belong. They've got no blessing from heaven. They've got no vision and they've got no relationship with the creator of the universe. It's terrible. That's awful. And we ought to be, that ought to just give us that much more. That's why I call them the bummers, the five bummers. It's bad. And Paul, he's kind of going through the list and he's like, look, this is where they're at. This is what's going on. What's cool is when we get back, God obviously provides the solution to all that, which is totally awesome. You're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Short break. We'll be back.
Thanks a lot. What is the David Spoon Experience?
Their favorite joke is when the guy comes in, he goes golfing and comes into his wife and he just got back from golfing. You know this one, he's sweating everywhere. Oh, this is a classic. He's sweating everywhere and he's really tired. He's like and she's like, what happened? He goes, oh my gosh, it was the worst. It was about the fourth hole and we were playing and all of a sudden, you know, Herb fell over and had a heart attack. She goes, oh my goodness, what did you do? He goes, well, it was hit the ball and pull Herb.
The Christian faith is being attacked. 50 years ago, people would disagree with Christianity, but with a sense of respect. Those days are over. The rage, the flesh, the enemy, and the atmosphere of sin is growing and growing. Jesus said in Matthew 24, "The love of many will grow cold." And if it's not the end now, it's certainly a lot closer than it was yesterday. You may be from a Baptist background. David Spoon has that. You may have a Pentecostal background. He has that too. You may have a non-denominational background. Yep, he's got that as well. You may be from the Church of Christ, Presbyterian, Methodist, Church of God, or some other denomination. But if you're looking for a show that's Bible-based, Spirit-led, and a bit nutty, give David a listen for a while. If you like it, great. If not, no worries. The David Spoon Experience. Weekdays at 2 on God Country, Texas, 770 KAAM.
The deterioration of the ecosystem or creation itself is definitely the result of man. You say, well, how can you say that? Well, Romans chapter 8, verse 19 through 21. I just read the scriptures. I don't need anything else. The Bible says this: the creation waits in eager expectation for the sons of God to be revealed. For the creation was subjected to frustration, not by its own choice, but by the will of the one who subjected it, in hope that the creation itself would be liberated from its bondage to decay and brought into the glorious freedom of the children of God. Creation itself is longing for the redemption that comes through Jesus Christ. And until that takes place, it is on a collision course down. The result of the ecosystem or creation itself crashing is a result of man's sin in the garden. So when they say, oh, well, it's not man-made, oh, yes, it is. Of course it's man-made. It's because we messed up in the garden. But I wasn't with Adam and Eve. You were in the person of Adam and Eve. And if you want me to use it, you were in the life-giving force of Adam and Eve. And if you want me to really say it, you were in the loins of Adam and Eve. You were there, too. They stuck their fist up to God and said, nope. And God went, okie dokie, here's the result.
The David Spoon Experience.
Welcome back to the David Spoon Experience. Thank you for joining us here at KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. True to form, our people are the best. True to form, our friend is called back. Hold on. Okay, it's David.
It's Craig.
Hey, what's going on, Craig? All right, so you had a chance to look it up, and I wanted to make sure you got a chance to do that. What did you discover?
That First Chronicles 25:12 was shorter.
The First Chronicles 1:25. So that's Eber, Peleg, and Reu. That's the whole verse. It's like it's a little bit shorter, but it's one of those you would never, you kind of wouldn't catch it normally because it's so short, and it's kind of tight in there with a kind of a genealogy kind of mentality, and it's tough to find that stuff. I think it's really hard to find that stuff. So
yeah, it's not a complete sentence.
Right, exactly. Now, the real challenge, and just between you and I, is in the Hebrew, was there any breakdown? And usually the answer is no. In fact, most of the Greek that we read, 5, 6, or 7 sentences are usually end up being one sentence in the Greek. But we break them down because we have short attention spans. That's what he said.
Well, listen, don't include me in that.
God bless you. That is great. That is great.
And you be blessed. And as you say, I'm just reminding you, you need to fix that.
Okay, you got it.
All right. Be blessed. Bye-bye.
All right. God bless you, brother. Bye-bye. Is that great? I'm telling you, we got these great people. Yeah, so it's Eber, Peleg, and Reu. It says Eber, Peleg, and Reu. It's pretty short. All right, let's finish up because I don't want to leave everybody hanging. If you want to call in, you want to share some or talk about something, you're welcome to, but I do want to get to this one major point, and that is this. We just talked about the collective separation of the Gentiles. We talked about the difference between circumcision, which is cutting the foreskin of the males. You know what? That's what it is. I think, well, what is it? You know, is it physiological or whatever? It's a message from God. Too much flesh. It applies to everybody. We have too much flesh. Usually the circumcision in the New Testament, the one it's discussing it, talks about circumcision of the heart Why? Because there's too much flesh. It was like, we got too much stuff going on there. Then we covered or went into this bummer zone, the five bummers being, you know, separated, no Messiah, no citizenship, no promise, no hope, no God. But verse 13 pulls you right back up. It says this, but now in Christ Jesus, you who once were far away have been brought near through the blood of Christ. Now, before we go too far, too deep, too fast, I want to make sure you understand real quickly that anybody who says, well, it doesn't really talk about the blood of Jesus, does not know the Bible between the Bible and a C. Dick run book. Pay no attention. Pay no attention to the people behind the curtain. The scriptures are filled with testimony after testimony about the necessity of the shed blood of Jesus Christ, the sacrifice that was given for us. And there's a whole group of people that claim to be believers and deny the blood of Christ. We usually call them Gnostics, or nowadays we just call them crazy. Okay? Here's the bottom line. That no Messiah, no citizenship, no promise, no hope, no God position is done away with in Christ. Verse 13, but now in Christ Jesus. You might be sitting there saying, well, why does sometimes it say Christ Jesus and other times it says Jesus Christ? And the only valid reason you can really come up with is Christ is the Lordship. And Jesus is the saviorship. I mean, some people swap those. There's some of that in there. I don't know if any of that's true. I think it's just like going, you know, go Astros, go Houston Astros. I don't know if there's anything more to it than that. I haven't quite figured that out yet. But the reality check is in Christ, everybody that was far away in these five ways, no Messiah, no citizenship, no promise, no hope, no God, finds that which was not there. Now watch this. In Christ, this is why you want people to be in Christ. Now, again, I don't care about your denominational background. I care about the kingdom of God and the advancement of the kingdom of God and the unity of believers. And in Christ, there is this. Now watch this. Someone to look to, somewhere to belong, something to bless you, something to hope for, and someone to talk to. That's what's in Christ. Someone to look to. Stability, divinity, look to Jesus. Somewhere to belong. The citizenship of heaven, which in our current state has to do with the church, but will be Israel and the church in a combined unification all the way across. In every language, in every land, in every group. Something to bless you because you're connected to the covenant of promise. Promises are blessings, man. I don't know about you, but the promise that God makes that he'll never leave us nor forsake us, I'll take it. Something to hope for, which to me becomes one of the biggest ones. Hope is a better tomorrow. If you have no thought of a better tomorrow, it's a tough life. And someone to talk to. You think, oh, people say you're crazy if you talk to God. Friend, if you don't talk to God, you're crazy. That's the reality. That's the truth. I don't care what those guys say on television. I don't care what the other people say on the radio. Who cares? They don't have a heaven to put you in. When you stand before God, those people aren't going to come up and speak for you. They'll all be cowering behind whatever. I don't know if they get to cower or not. Probably not, come to think of it. We're all brought near. We've all been brought near through the blood of Jesus Christ. It's not by works. You're not brought close to God by works. You're not brought close to, you know, I'm going to get, some of the people are going to get mad at me for this, but here's my response. Tough. You're not brought close to God by works. You're not brought close to God by water. You're not brought close to God by wisdom. You're not brought close to God by will. You're brought near by the blood of Christ. It's by the precious blood of the Lamb. The single greatest mistake that theologians have made in the last 300 years is identifying Jesus as a model versus identifying Jesus as the Lamb of God slain from the foundation of the earth. The reason is because they don't think they need to get saved. They just need to follow examples. Let me tell you something. You can follow examples until you're blue in the face. You can have a big E tattooed on your forehead. If you do not see Jesus Christ and understand Jesus Christ as the Redeemer, the one who shed his blood for your life and for the life of everybody else, if you don't see Christ as the Lamb first, you will never understand the will of God, nor will you ever reflect the heart of God. It's a mandate. And what happened in the church at large is in the brilliance of theology, they started to make Jesus singly focused as a model. So they took all of the emphasis off relationship, all of the emphasis off repentance and forgiveness and all of those things. And they said it's by works, by water, by wisdom, by will, and it's none of those things. It's by the blood of Jesus Christ. And you don't get in by the blood, not getting in. You think, well, what about all those people in all those foreign countries who never hear the gospel? Number one, God is able to handle all of that. That's not your concern. Number two, if you're so concerned about them, why don't you send them money? I never hear any of these people who try to use them as an example telling me that they send these people money. What about that poor, you're just using that as a dodge. And even if their situation and God, how that whole thing works out and how they're evaluated and how that all goes, and if Jesus is the light of the world for them and however that goes, that's fantastic. It's got nothing to do with the fact that the truth has been presented to us. And we have to respond. You either accept it or reject it. And you don't get to modify it because it's not ours. It's his truth. Wow. Who knew? Talk about the blood of Jesus Christ on Halloween. Get it? See, that's a joke. Seek blood of Jesus. Okay. Come on. If you're not smiling now, there's something wrong with you. Put your finger on your right above your lip and just turn it back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. Maybe you can crank up a smile. You can do it. All right. Don't get mean at people. Don't get mad at people. Do your best. Don't be a harumpher. Okay? 350 pieces of candy. I hope that not that many kids come to our house. That's all I got to say. Alrighty, you've been listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Want to thank the audience for everything they've done. Tomorrow is going to be phenomenal. You got to tune in. 23 hours to go for more Insanity with Spoonanity. Talk to you then. Each time you see.
The views expressed in the preceding program were those of the speakers and not necessarily those of KAAM, DJRD Broadcasting, or its sponsors.